everybody.
And tonight we are doing Civil War, Alex Garland's new film. So where is everybody? Well, no one else is on for Alex Garland film because we've done them all. We've done every. Where is everybody? Where are my fellow?
We haven't done them all.
We have. We've done all four Alex Garland films. We've done Ex Machina, Annihilation, Men, and now we're doing Civil War.
Oh, that we've been doing since we've had a podcast. I mean, he did Sunshine.
No, every movie he directed, I mean. Didn't direct. He wrote Sunshine. Danny Boyle, partnership. Yeah.
Danny Boyle did direct it, yep.
He wrote 28 Days Later, yep. And then uncredited on 28 Weeks Later. I think he's going to be writing the new 28 Months Later. Not directing, but writing. He doesn't direct those. Not his style. It's interesting he writes those. I guess it is British. He's British, so, but it's just not really his other... His, like, core works are so much headier. Anyway. Civil War. What'd you know about Civil War going in? Okay.
That it was the third Captain America movie?
No. We are all done. MCU died. It's passed away.
That's what I knew about Civil War. I didn't even know there was a movie coming out called Civil War.
What?
I had no notion this was happening. It never came up as a preview for anything I was watching. Yeah.
You didn't see any previews? Oh, man. It must be really targeted to movie people because it's A24's biggest movie, $50 million budget. The indie studio's right. Big swing. They give it to Garland, who's made other big budget movies that have also not made a lot of money. Like Annihilation lost money. Ex Machina barely made money. What was the other one? Men. I don't think Men made any money, and that didn't really cost anything. But, like, he's not a box office director. He's an acclaimed director. He directs for critical snobbery. But so Civil War, you didn't hear about it?
I knew nothing. And then I saw, Nick Offerman's President. This might have funny stuff in it. And
oh, that is The Rock. Okay. Oh, Devs show. You ever see Devs, the FX show? It's also with Nick Offerman. He's the CEO. He's like a tech. An eccentric guy. It's a time travel show. We're not mm-hmm. even a time travel show. A look like figuring out that time is there's only one time. Like it's like time is deterministic kind of thing, and you can kind of look into the past and future because there's only ever been one thing that's ever happened kind of thing. It's interesting.
You mean real life?
That's well, real life. I guess, but like that's only real life if you believe. You know, whatever.
Time travel.
Well, if you don't believe that there's more out there than just our own existence and that time is not linear. Oh, like, we don't know. Right. We don't know there's only ever been one time. We don't know there's only...
For humans on planet Earth.
This time for these humans on this planet Earth. In a dystopian future, America... why did I read it like that? In a dystopian future, America, a team of military-embedded journalists races against time to reach Washington, D.C. before rebel factions descend upon the White House... 82% on Rotten Tomatoes, 78% critics, 78% Metacritic, 7.6
What's going on here?
7.6 on IMDb. They're sevens and eights. Seven, eight. High scores. Not perfect, but it's a politically charged movie. They rarely are. But so you're going to get the high sevens and eight, low eights is what you're looking at right now for Civil War. It's typical Garland scores. Starring we haven't seen her in a bit, Kirsten Dunst. When was the last time we saw Kirsten Dunst?
I don't even know.
Okay, not recently.
Not recently. I mean, more Jesse Plemons than Kirsten. I've seen her at like premieres with Jesse Plemons, pretty much.
It's so interesting. Kirsten Dunst had that 2000 star, and then Jesse Plemons gets the 2010 star, and maybe the 2020s they can finally have their time together.
Get it together,
yeah. That'd be nice. Also,
don't
Wagner
get divorced. I like them.
You cheer for what you perceive to be
cheer for them.
Nice things. You don't know, but you're just like, I hope that's nice. There's got to be nice things out there. Wagner Mora, Kaylee Spanne, Stephen McKinley Henderson, the great, the underrated, Sonia Mizuno, among others, Nick Offerman, of course. And if you haven't seen Civil War, it is in theaters, not streaming anywhere.
It's in theaters. I saw it in IMAX, so you can see
it
in
this
IMAX.
It's an action war movie. It behooves seeing on the big screen if you're interested. Spoilers are going to happen here now. So you didn't know what this was going to be going in, and I only saw trailers, but I didn't know what the tone was going to be. And I was kind of scared because I don't love my politics is scary in movies because they make them bad. They make them heavy-handed and stupid and one-dimensional and cloying and dated, and it's just bad. It's just the best political movies you could watch in any time period, and they still, like, They Live, John Carpenter's, like, that's about Reaganism, but you don't know that it's about Reaganism. It could be anything, you know? So I see Alex Garland make Civil War, and I get worried. I'm like, oh no, is it gonna, like, I don't know what his politics are. Is he gonna make me not like him? Is he gonna be some crazy man? I have no idea. And so, instead, Civil War is following journalists on the ground, very on the ground, in war-torn 20 years, 30 years from now kind of America, if you know, something bad were to happen.
Or and, today.
Sure. And there's factions, but the fact that there's Western forces are the rebel military, I suppose, and then the American government's fascist government run by Nick Offerman. There's a couple other offshoots. None of that matters at all. It does not matter the politics. It does not matter who's the sides. We are following journalists, and horrific things happen to pretty much everyday-looking Americans. Things that happen in other parts of the world are, you know, the skins have been changed. Now it looks like the guys you know down the street that are getting blown up in suicide bombs and have no water and are shooting their neighbors and are being buried alive in holes and are in refugee camps, and it's in your backyard with the crashed helicopter in front of the JCPenney. So it's on the ground,
like,
journalists.
Civil War 180 years ago, without the helicopters, obviously.
It's, well, I don't know. It was Civil War 180 years ago. I don't know what your point. I missed you.
The American Civil War, when things were on our ground and they weren't.
Yes, yeah.
Other people.
Not
yes.
Since exact sure. Not since that Civil War, when times were completely different in some ways. And yes. So yeah, the movie is. We follow the journalists, and they're slowly descending on. They're trying to interview the president before he gets assassinated because America's falling apart. And so that's it. We're gonna watch them. We're gonna watch these journalists go and try to get to the president. And Mama K, what'd you think of Civil War?
Yeah, because it's really not about the Civil War. It really is the story of the journalists, because we're given such a rudimentary.
It's not about the Civil War. It's about, like, it's about the journalists, but, like, it's about the you're living in a Civil War country now. This is what it looks like on the ground. Like,
yes, but you have no. We're just given a very loose framework of how things have happened. I have to tell you that this is a very disturbing movie, A, for a couple of reasons. I shouldn't have said A for a couple of reasons. For a couple of reasons, A.
And C, D.
Yeah. One.
Two, it's
also
smoke detectors.
Two. Yes. Because it's pretty, it's a graphic movie. It's extremely violent. I've read some things after the movie where people are like, it's not, you know, it's not violent, it's not gory, it's both of those things. I don't know who wrote these things, blind
it's
and
not
deaf people.
I don't know who could say this is not violent or gory. Like, you would have to be pretty desensitized to
yeah.
think
this. Well, it was, and this particular, there were two reviews I was reading, and one of them,
it's not Saw, but, like, it's not,
no.
Like,
yeah, but it's, okay, it's not a horror film in those kind of terms. True. That's the first thing. The second thing is, because there's this rudimentary framework, you don't really have a true sense of what has happened to get you to this point. The saving grace of this movie for me is the fact that, and this is done obviously in an obvious manner, that the state of California and the state of Texas mm-hmm. have gotten together to be this Western Forces militia. Okay, that's like getting together, you know, you got a bell curve, one's on one end of the bell curve.
You're really
on the other.
This is your take? This is the laziest take.
hold on, I'm just trying to tell you why the only reason that's the saving grace, what I'm saying, the saving grace, so that this doesn't affect me in a put me in a really bad mental state, let's put it that way, is that they set it up so it's like, sure, this is in the future, but you have to believe that Texas and California got together against something else. So that saves it for me.
30 years from now, like, Texas is going to not be Texas as we know it. Like, it's going to be heavily Hispanic, like the voting population. Like, you have no idea what these, what states don't look like they did 30 years ago now. So why? I don't know. I think it's just,
I'm glad you did to make it two of the most polarizing. And then they gave this Florida, like Florida, blah, 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 blah. But everybody else is just like this big massive thing. And there are apparently big swaths of the country that are not even affected by this, which is really interesting.
It's a big place.
So, It is a big place. That's one thing you have to keep in mind. I do like that they added this whole Carolina aspect to it, because there is a lot of military there. You'd be able to, beef up your military presence if you were the Western Horses by having the Carolinas on your side. So, anyway, those are the two things I want that.
Those are the get out of the ways, the context.
Yeah, I need to get that stuff out of the way, yeah. Because otherwise, as long as you're okay with it just being a movie following this group of four intrepid people, you know, trying to make their way through to the president, and it's showing you what this Civil War has done to the country by doing that. It's solidly dystopian and terrifying. But not so far out of the realm that you don't imagine it happening in, probably not in my lifetime, but in your lifetime, for sure. So I like the way that this is presented. You say it's not a political movie. It's clearly a political movie.
It's obviously a political movie, but it doesn't, it's not so focused on, it's this
It's
not the blame movie. It's not like, whose fault is it? It's, what will you do when you have no solutions? What will you do when you're out of point? When you have no fingers to point? Like, what will you do? Like, when the cavalry doesn't come, and this is what you're left with.
Right. Like, but only certain places, because they say things like, oh yeah, my dad is in Missouri pretending this isn't happening. Oh, my dad's in Ohio. I don't remember what the states were, but let's just say that. Ohio pretending this isn't happening.
They're in the Midwest. They're in the middle of nowhere on a farm pretending it's not happening, right?
Yeah, but then you go, then there's one point where they stop at this gas station and trying to get fuel, and it's these, I don't really know where they're supposed to be from. Backwood Hicks, maybe West Virginia kind of situation. I know that they were traveling through Pennsylvania, maybe.
I would say that I got middle of Pennsylvania vibes from those guys. So
yeah,
I think that's where they're starting in New York and they're going to D.C., but they have to go through Western PA because they say Philadelphia's fucked to all hell.
Because you can't get there any other way. So yeah.
They say something like, you do not want to go through Philadelphia or something like that.
I want to know what Alex Garland has against Philadelphia. Right?
He's not. I mean, we wouldn't survive the Civil War. We would be one of the early collapsers, because we are a very emotional people. Emotional people
that's
do not
true.
Last long. Yeah.
That's true. Well, yeah, that's true. And you have, there's already sort of a bent infrastructure in that city. So it's like, that's
the
not
going
to
like,
work.
Yeah, like, I'm surprised. I'm constantly curious about the world, but I love the amount we're given. I don't think I want more, because I think if I got more, I'd start questioning, and then I'd start to break, and then I'd start worrying about what I didn't want to worry about. I don't care who the generals are. I don't care who, like, what are we fighting for? I don't care what we're fighting for. We're trying to not die. That's what we're fighting for. We're literally trying not to die. Like,
right. Well, and to have it through the eyes of photojournalists, which I've seen a couple movies through that vein before. And it's, you know, it's an interesting, I don't want to say it's an easy take, but it's an easy way to get through the story. And the story is them. The story is how are they reacting to all of this? This is, you know, they're used to going to war-torn countries and, you know, the Middle East and Somalia and places that, you know, are where stuff is happening right now and we're not talking about it. So they're used to that. Now it's on their home turf. But the fact that they all still sort of have the same viewpoint about war, even though it's on your home turf. I don't know. What do you think about that? I was thinking about that a lot. That they're,
well, how the journalists feel about the war.
Well, yeah, that's what the movie is sort of about. I mean, the movie is these people and how they're working their way through this. We get to see everything that's happening through them, but they're also really an integral part of, I mean, they are the story.
They are, and they're the driving narrative force, and they, because he's a good writer, they all arc, too. Like, all, like, maybe, no, they do. Yeah. All four of our characters are. If you
they
have
do
one that
arc.
You, yeah, I mean, two of them Sorry. Or die. I guess the one guy doesn't really arc, because he's kind of like the wisdom giver, and so, although he does drive the car. He stays in the car, and then he drives the car, and I'm not getting out of the car! Get in the car! Like, you know, like, just small, little, tiny, like, oh, it's a master rider, like, he knows how to do things. But what's his name? The one guy getting the last word from the president, the taking picture, would you take a picture of me if I were killed in combat or whatever, would you take my photo or whatever? Right. And so that's, we're still set up with these things, but when I'm watching Civil War, which I've seen twice now, and I will see it again in theaters, like, I'm going to see it again with Nicole, oh, she's okay. not going on our thing, like, I want to be in the movie theater watching this movie right now. Like, I just cannot get enough of it. I can't get I've posted this on my socials already, but it's for those who watch Always Sunny, it's when Frank is dressed as the art critic Ongo Gabalogian, and he looks at that Nazi war painting, and all of, like, the flashes go in between. Because the whole thing is he's being, like, glib, like, I'm going to pretend to be an art critic to screw people over. But then he sees art that touches him so deeply that it breaks him. That was me watching this movie. That was literally me. Like, I was just like, all right, I'm going to go in and with my critic thing. And, like, it's one of my favorite directors, Annihilation, one of my favorite movies of the past of 21st century. And then I broke down crying a couple times in this movie because it was hitting me so hard. Maybe it's because I'm dumb and I just need people suffering to look like dressed like people I know. Like, I might literally be that dumb where I'm like, oh, they're dying over there. Or maybe it's not dumbness.
It's dumb.
Sure.
No, it's whatever, it's your own, it's your energy field. It's like, you can only be, without going insane, you can only be so much in your world, like what you were saying earlier, is that you don't want to, you want to know stuff and you want to do all these things, but you don't want to really know all the stuff, you know, you just,
no.
Because it's closer to home, and when something's closer to home, I think it affects you more for whatever it is, whether it's you love sports movies, so you go to see a sports movie and it makes you cry. This is like, you know, this is your world. You know, we live in America and there's a lot of stuff going on. It's a really divisive time. I'm not going to say this is not even remotely the worst time in this country's history, but it's a trying time for people.
That's what scares me, is that we act like it is. We're so comfortable. We're so unfathomably comfortable, and people think we're not. And that's the worst. Is that
that's because that when
because a couple of people aren't, because a couple of people are right now suffering, or not even a couple, like thousands of people, but thousands of people in hundreds of millions of people is no people, but we can't understand that because we can't, like, oh, we got to take care of 7 billion people, like, not realizing that's not like our job.
Impossible.
We literally can't do that. Like, what we have to do is just do our best every day with each other, because as soon as you start being like, yeah, but who versus, who's the blame, all of the negative reviews I saw about this, none of them are about, like, the characters or the filmmaking. We're gonna go into all the scenes. Like, these scenes wrecked me. A couple of them really.
Wait, so
messed
what
me
are
up.
They? What are they again? What are the negative
all
reviews
of the
about?
Negative reviews are saying this is spineless and not taking a side and not saying anything. It's like,
no, but
you're
you
not,
don't have to take a side to say something.
I'm like you don't understand. You so do not understand. You cannot start with, all right, this is whose fault it is, and now let's go forward. You can't go, all right, this is the group that's to blame for all of this, and now let's fix the problem. You know what? You know when that happened? It happened in Germany in 1918. When Germany was blamed for World War I, they had to pay reparations to the rest of Germany, and guess who became very popular in Germany? When they said, why is Germany at fault for everything? Everyone was in the war. Why is it only Germany's fault? And then you come to America, and you say, it's all one person's side's fault? All one type of person? And you're surprised this is happen. It's your fault too. It's your fault too for saying it's their fault. You have to.
The only time
you have to.
The only
be
time
nice.
It works that way is when it's involving aliens or dinosaurs or.
We need the common enemy to unite us.
Or some sort of, you know, natural disaster that has blame involved in it now too, with, you know, climate change. So yeah, that's the thing, is that I think people can't there's a whole swath of people who are never happy. They're never satisfied. Whatever it is, and maybe it's because we're a little soft. And I don't want to say that, you know, you need to have something bad happen, then you're not soft anymore, you know?
It's like, do we need, like we have to do this? Do we have to do this to read, like, that's what it feels like.
I don't
like.
Feel like we, I don't feel that way, but I know that there's a large group of people, and I know people that are like this, and I try to understand, because that's my thing, is, like, I need to understand.
They know not what to ask for. Like, do you like going to the grocery store? Do you like not being, do you like knowing that you can drive down the street every day and not be shot at? Like, we, right. Like, 95% of people who live in this country have those privileges. Do you, yes. Like, that? those are not automatic. Not everywhere has that, and that's not, we're, it's not some magical thing that this happens. Like,
it can be taken
away from us.
We've been generational where we haven't been, you know, it's been 80 years since we've been in a war that has touched our continent, with the exception of 9/11, which was an incident that didn't turn into war on our
See,
our
now
continent.
Someone heard that just now and they ignored the last 20 minutes. They're only hyper fixating on, oh, so 9/11 wasn't that serious? Is that what you're saying? Well, then what the fuck?
I'm not saying it
wasn't. Fuck all your entire opinion. Fuck all your opinions.
It wasn't a war. It doesn't come down to a war on, it was definitely an act of war, but it didn't come to war.
Yes,
it came to
yeah,
war someplace else.
Right.
We took it someplace else, right? And I just think that we have, so now there's a whole generation, my generation included, a little bit, and people, you know, maybe boomer generation, that don't have an actual point of reference in their head. You know, even 9/11 is removed from me. I don't live in New York. You know what I mean? It's not something that happened in my backyard. So the more removed you get from something, and if you can
tell yourself. That also helps explain to like why, because there are part like, oh, you can how can you just live on a farm in the middle of nowhere? Well, if you're a self-sufficient farmer in the part of the U.S. that's still part of the U.S., like you don't need the government, so you are okay. And then if no one's trying to kill you, like if you're just a middle-aged white farmer in the middle of that, like so you're
but
like
you're
no
ignoring
one's
things like supply chain and stuff like that. All of that gets disrupted. We saw what happened in during COVID times. And
I know, but like if you're a farmer, like and your car breaks, you fix your car, your refrigerator. Like if you're a sufficient on the land kind of person and the shit goes down,
yes.
you just figure it. Like those are the people who make it and figure it out.
Yes.
All the people on it's us. It's the normies who work in offices that get rounded up like cattle and thrown in pits and like, or we become the ones throwing our coworkers in pits because we're so afraid. Cause we can't do anything. Like that's what happens.
Right. Or resources become strained. And then you figure out, then it becomes a truly tribal situation. We've talked about tribe before, and it truly becomes like your tribe. You're going to do what's best for your tribe, your family.
That's why it's realistic to me. I'm like, they're like, oh, why would Texas and California join? I'm like, I'm sure Texas and California probably did different things to piss off crazy man, crazy Nick Offerman man, who we get 3 minutes of in the beginning of like flashes of him preparing for his speech, things he clearly did, and him clearly like only caring about him and like nonchalantly about everything else. That's all we needed to know about that man, and then his last line of dialogue. That's all we need to know. We don't need to expand on his character and know what are the deep political messages. We know what this little man wants. He wants to rile everyone up because he's afraid that no one likes him, and so he's gonna destroy the whole country.
Wow. And the fact that a country could let that happen, like you said, it's happened before, just the most. And that's a really insane idea.
Like, that's the whole why is like people are so working like, yeah, but he didn't blame someone hard enough. I'm like, first of all, I don't know how you could see the Nick Offerman character and think, well, that's Biden. If you're gonna say who he thinks is more at fault in America of the right or the left, it's not gonna be the left. He's not saying they're blameless or good. Right. He's saying they're less horrible currently. That's like what a title you've won. But like that, but it right. is that like the real regular people are the who are the good people in this movie. That one refugee town where they're just like. Yeah, no tents, you know, you come in, we food line over here, like that. Other than that, it's the kind of just, everyone's just kind of animals. Like, there's not really a lot of good left.
Well, and then there's the town that they go through where it's just, it's an idyllic town still.
Sure. It's because they don't have, they can pretend it doesn't happen because they have, they, it looks like they live close enough to the center infrastructure where they still have a little bit left. They have a militia defending their town. So right. If you have that, if you have that privilege of space and time and period, you can turn your back and say nothing's happening.
Yeah. And if you basically, if you have a tight tribe, because that's what that is, that's, you know, more than your family, but that's a town tribe that's decided as a town that's how they're going to exist.
But also at the same time, like that woman in the bookstore, when they're in there, like, yeah, she doesn't like care about, like, she, maybe she doesn't, but like, it's the burden's still there. Like that town's still like in the back of their minds. They know that like someone could just roll in and take him out one day. Like that's the thing is like what we take for granted right now. I don't wake up every day like a barbarian could come into my village and kill my whole family. Like that's so new. That's like 150 years old. Like before, like 1800s, that happened. It happens now, but like it happens less. But like that used to be the only way it happened. That was only. It was only I wake up in my house and I hope some bigger person doesn't come and kill me and take everything. Like that's just how existence was.
Before I die of natural causes at 38.
And so much we take for granted this infrastructure we've built, and we, yeah. Anyway, let's
Are
go
you
on
saying
to
that we live too long, our life is too...
Well, we do live too long, easy. That is true. So, some people live too long, I suppose.
Yeah, let's, I want to talk about how they drive the narrative in this movie, so...
Yeah, please. I want to go on scenes, but... no, narrative, what do you mean?
Why don't you do that? Why don't you start with scenes? Because I'm not great at... that, and I've only seen it once, so
most people are picking the Jesse Plemons scene as their favorite scene, and I think it's because it's the scene that comes closest to blaming somebody, because he's a racist person, so he in xenophobic or whatever, he says things that are like, are you like a real American, or what kind of American, Central, oh, Florida, Central American, like already, like, this is why I'm like, Texas,
well,
California, of course
that
they could, what?
I didn't see that as being a racist scene at all. I saw that as being a, are you a Western forces or are you not? Do you know what I mean? I didn't.
But
see
he
that
kills
being...
the he kills. Oh, China, Hong Kong. Like he's okay. Come on. The point
of
that.
Right. Okay, I forgot about that part.
he kills. Yeah, the point. That's why everyone likes the Jesse Plemons scene. Who's like, it's a 3-star movie. I wish it were braver. It's well made, but the Jesse Plemons scene. Now that was the scene where, because you know what? Because we get to blame. It's all white man's fault. Like everyone just wants to blame instead of actually be like, oh, maybe we could work together and build something. Like, no, blame hurts.
Well,
blame.
Who does he get killed by?
Who does who get killed by?
Jesse Plemons gets killed by the black guy driving the van.
I know, it was pretty nice.
Or the truck.
One of our finest character actors. I mean, I like that scene because it's just well done, like in the moment. Like again, the whole thing is like this. I want this to be like this could happen to you. Christian Dunst says the. I thought I was sending home a message. Don't do this. Like she has that same heroine vibe of. Well, it sounds like, not heroin like the drug, although she just sometimes sounds like she's on heroin in this movie. She's like the character in Annihilation that Fast Times at Ridgemont High grown up girl plays. It's that same deadpan, weary, cold delivery that a lot of his other people have had, but she really sells it. I think she really sells it in this one.
I think she's hot and cold. I think there are times when she sells it, and then I think there's times where it looks like she's phoning it in. I'm not gonna lie. I like her character, and
I thought her character was really. I think anytime that happens, it's like because part of her character is like I'm phoning it in because I'm weary to like she takes pictures of
when
guy
I say
on a...
phoning it in. I feel like it's way too mono. Whenever she gets way too monotone, that feels really not. It takes me out of her character.
That monotonous is what I'm talking about. Ventress is the character's name from Annihilation, and she's like, I can't remember that actress's name. The one from Jennifer Jason Leigh. Jennifer Jason Leigh's character and Annihilation. This is literally like it's that same like jaded. I have my own, like I'm like completely worn, weary of this thing, and it has that same like monotone kind of delivery as Jennifer Jason Leigh, Annihilation. The similar characters, as I noticed, his writing. I don't know if it's how he writes his women, but although his Jesse Buckley and Men, very different. So, some range there. Best scene in the movie for me. Can you guess what my favorite scene was? There's so many amazing scenes.
No,
it's so hard, but...
No, I can't.
The Winter Wonderland scene.
Oh.
When they're driving. Actually, that is because that
the
is my
bit of comedy.
It is a little bit of levity, but it's also driving home what I took away from everything. Like it gets it. That's the scene that for me is like understands it the most. They're pinned. For those who haven't seen or trying to remember this scene, the journalists about halfway through their journey, they've already been shooken up a little bit. We are already aware that America is not like what it was, and so they come across this winter wonderland. They're driving through like the woods, and it's like this little banner and a bunch of blow up inflatable like lawn ornaments and shit, bubbles flowing. And then there's also a dead soldier and a dead U.S. soldier in the middle of it. And so they're just like, all right. And the journalist's like, all right, I'm gonna just kind of go forward slowly. And then someone starts shooting.
They disagree about what they do. Actually,
we can turn around. Yeah. We're gonna go around. Let's.
Yeah. Don't go forward, but you're gonna have to go forward to make this happen.
They decide to go forward slowly, and then they start getting shot at, and they have to peel over, and then they're pinned down, getting shot at from we don't know who, and then there's two other guys there, laying there on the ground. They've been there this whole time. We didn't see them, and they're in camouflage. They're both in camouflage, but they're in like homemade-ish camouflage. They clearly look like they're not part of an organized military per se, but they have some kind of gear. Like so, they're. It's something, whatever. We have no idea.
Yeah, they have sharpshooter skills too. So
yeah, the one guy has like a military grade rifle. So whatever. We don't know what's going on. We're just in the scenario, which I'm already like in love with this. I'm like, oh, what a fun scenario you've created. And then they're pinned down. Hey, what's going on? The one guy asks Garcia. Hey, what's going on? He's stuck. We're stuck. Okay, like that's the thing. That's like what the guy says. Right. Like okay, who is he? Don't know. It's a pretty good shot though. Wouldn't move. So just so matter of fact, they're like, are you WF? Is he, you, he's like, what do you, he's like, oh, you gotta get it. You guys are the R word. I get you. Like you do not get it. You're not from around here, are you? Kind of attitude. Like it's it does not matter who's shooting at you right now. He's stuck. We're stuck. Like
somebody's gonna win this.
That is truly all that matters. All of our like, who stands for the right thing? Who's good? Do we make
right
decisions?
No idea.
Like those are luxuries. Those are luxuries of a society we built that took a lot of work and a lot of guys like this going stuck. We're stuck. Like that's. That's the scene for me. That's the one I'm like, that's like everything. That's the whole movie.
Yeah, because you have no idea.
You have no idea.
I mean, the movie could have ended right there with the two guys being like, yeah, we got the guy in the house. Now,
I know.
Bam,
like,
bam,
and now
bam,
what?
Bam. You're
and
all
like,
dead.
What if those guys are like even worse? You have no idea.
Exactly.
You have no idea who anybody is. They're just, they could be related to nothing, but they have the bigger guns and they're very capable and you're scared. So what are you going to do? The cavalry isn't coming. There's no cops. There's no neighbors. There's nothing. Like, that's what's the scariest. That's why it's so good.
It's good. Well, though, I think the Jesse Plemons scene is more terrifying just because of, I mean, he plays it so well and, there are people in this movie that you know are dispensable, and so you know what's going to happen. So it's the four of them mainly, but at some point they run into these two guys that are also,
the other two journalists.
The other two journalists or journalists and his buddy or whatever, and you just know that I knew at the moment, those are sacrifices right there. They're going to be killed at some point. So, there's that. And then when I knew at some point that Kirsten Dunst was not going to make it to the end of this film. So
yeah, I figured they were going to use her, and I knew Sammy was going to be the sacrificial lamb.
Yeah.
Because he usually is in his movie. By the way, that actor, Stephen McKinley Henderson, doesn't get his due. Don't hear his name ever talked about. Only been in movie. I mean, he's been in movie acting since the 70s, but he's only been in movies and TV, like big stuff since like late 2000s into the 2010s kind of range. Dude is amazing in everything he's in. He's in the Dune movies. He's in Devs, Alex Garland's TV show. he's got a really good part in a incredibly close the World Trade Center movie. Extremely loud, incredibly close. Lady Bird, he's really good in. He is really funny in that one. He doesn't ever get shout outs.
That shows up. Yeah,
we like to shout out our favorite little character actors, and he's on that list. And like this, I'm glad he got to have his Sammy role. Like, this is such a good role for him. It's memorable. He gets to do his sacrifice. Like, it's just just as like a likable guy, he's like the easiest of the protagonists to like, because the other three are more rounded, complicated characters, and he's like the wise old man. Yeah. So
I don't dislike any of our main characters.
Dislike anyone. They're good. Like, they're good. They're really like, they're flawed, interesting to root for, but like but they're real, and it's just really nice. I had the same thoughts on it. Like, it's another reason I talk about Annihilation so much. Like, those women, that group of women, they're so good. Like, they're just so, I'm literally getting emotional thinking about these movies. Like, he gets it. He just it's a very human experience, and I understand. Like, this is very, it's very good. It understands, like, these relationships here.
Well, and I'm really glad to have a different aspect for the younger woman, Kaylee, because she played Priscilla.
Yeah,
and I
know you
really
didn't love
disliked that so much, and I disliked her performance in that. And I was just, and I didn't, yeah, I didn't bring it over to this. I saw her, and I was like, she's really familiar, but she's, yeah, she's really good. She plays younger than she is, so that kind of helps a little bit. She does arc.
To be fair, isn't that what she did last time?
Yeah, like 14. Yeah. That's true. Maybe that's her forte, is playing younger. But she's not meant to be younger in this one. So,
she's probably, 23, I think they say?
Yeah, something like that. But she looks 17. So, so she's, her character arcs well. And you can tell that she's she's the second coming of the Kirsten Dunst character. Is her name Lee?
Yeah. Lee Smith, yeah. Named after a real war journalist during World War II. Is that the right one? I can never remember my words. I find them all very interesting, but I mix up dates and names. So I take away themes and ideas. I confuse specifics.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I'm a big picture guy. This is like, you don't really like post-apocalyptic movies, but I noticed you've been giving this mostly pretty positive praises. Like, why did you think you enjoyed this more than an average post-apocalyptic movie? Because you don't usually like them at all.
I usually do not like them at all, and I do not seek them out in any shape or form. Part of it is that a lot of post-apocalyptic movies are not... They do have a big bad, and a lot of times the big bad is something to do with aliens or space or something science related or AI or things like that. And I'm like, I don't care as much for worlds where you can just make up shit and it's okay, because it doesn't have to make sense because nobody knows what it is. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I
like a basis in reality.
You struggle with sci-fi.
Yeah. And there
you don't like sci-fi. Well, no. Oh my God. Do you only like those kind of things when they're funny and not when they're trying to be taken seriously? Is that it?
It's not just funny. I think it's...
No, because you got to say you like Alien, right? Like, Alien's a good movie.
You mean like the OG Alien?
Yeah, like the OG Alien.
I probably liked it when it
came out. Okay, all right, maybe we found it. I might have found... I've been trying to figure out your things. Like, you only can like... Because you like... It's not like you don't like space movies. You just don't like space movies that aren't funny, that don't have comedy, or not like family, or like snarky characters, or something.
I mean, maybe that's it. Maybe I just don't... Yeah, maybe I don't...
You don't like a realistic thing because you can't get... But if it's a funny thing, like, then it could be a fun space adventure. But you can't do like... Right. Space. You can't do a space war that's real. Well, you can do a Star Wars that's operatic, but you can't do like a real
journey. Yeah, that just doesn't, it doesn't interest me. It's not that I can't believe it or anything like that. I just don't have any interest in it, and I don't want to pay attention to it. That's part of what it is. I don't want to, there's nothing in it that's grabbing my attention. If you add humor to it, or if you put in a character that I can relate to, a lot of time these characters, I can't relate to them at all. that are in these post-apocalyptic movies. I am not the kind of person who is the first one to like jump out of an airplane. I'm not that kind of person. So not that I wouldn't jump out of an airplane, though. I'm just saying. Okay, just in case.
I think you would drive it. More than most people I know.
More than most people. But I'm not the first person. And I'm not going to be in the top 40% to do it. So those are
I would have actually put you at like 45%, actually. You would have been just above the middle of the curve.
So, and then there's, you know, there's... So the original... We go back to the original Alien. I like the original Alien, but it's also... It was an OG. It was something new. And a lot of the stuff... is like
it's true,
it's all been done before. To put
Alien, you can like just for being groundbreaking, like just because it's like a masterpiece of filmmaking, it's
super strong female character that didn't, you know, those kind of things didn't happen before then. So just to put a pin in this, when we went to see this movie Civil War, there were three previews, and that's generally what we get here, and each one of them was a remake or a sequel. And I said, what is going on? This is why people don't want to go to the movies anymore, because it's just remakes and sequels. I mean, what was it? I don't remember Ghostbusters, and I don't remember the other two. That's how great they were.
Just not even worth remembering.
But
is it a monkey film? There's a lot of monkey films out right now. Godzilla Kong. No, wasn't any of those. We got Planet of the Apes coming. No. It's monkey time.
But I commented to your dad. I was like, all three of those, and of course he was like, I would see all of those. I'm like, of course you would. But all three of those movies are.
He would see everything, and then the only things he wouldn't like are the good things.
A24 movies are not his thing, and so he was a little worried about this. And I said, it's a war movie, and he was like, oh, okay, yeah, I can do that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm curious because I don't know what his politics are like these days, but as a man who leans to the right, how did he accept this film?
I think he really liked it. I think part of it,
he could enjoy just like the spectacle.
Yeah, but I think, you know, he's a thinker, so I think that he understood, you know, there are aspects of this film that lean one way or another. So. This is not spoon feed you anything about that. So that, and it's not preachy like that. So
no, that's what those 20% of critics who gave it. I was combing for reviews. I'm like, where are the reviews that are bad that are like focusing on anything other than it not blaming more? It's all such a like, if we can't point the fingers at who's responsible, then who? I'm like, you are so missing the point. It's not about hunting all the bad guys out. It's about being stronger than the bad guys. It's about being a better and like a better person than the bad guys. It's not about like, let's make sure we eliminate every bad guy so we can be safe and comfy and not think about things anymore. That's what everyone wants to do. They want to be, let's get rid of everything so that I don't have to like worry or think or do it. Like you don't get to turn off.
Right.
You don't get to stop.
If you want
to, there's no done.
If you want to think about it in a good and bad perspective, then I think you have to say that everyone's a bad guy in this movie because
everyone but the people at the refugee camp is a bad guy in this movie. I could say that. Yeah. Even the journalists, I would say, are like not blame free. They are feeding a negative thing for the most part.
Right.
But more negative than positive, I suppose. Hard to say, but.
So did you get the feeling during this, that it felt like COVID times?
No. I did get the feeling all the time watching this where I was like, we got to be careful. This won't happen as long as the bread and circus continues to work, because that's society is all built on. You got bread and circus for the average folk, and then the top people will push forward our progress, and they need to do so responsibly that it doesn't accidentally kill a bunch of us. Like, that's kind of what we've always done. The top people push forward, and they accidentally kill a bunch of people, or sometimes purposely kill a bunch of people, and then all of the regular people get scared and terrified, and then we set ourselves back 500 years. So, what we need to do is continue to have strong people at the top who lead and for the betterment of all, while keeping the regular masses comfortable with their bread and circus. Yes, because if we run out of bread or we run out of circus, then we become the bread and circus, and we do not want to be eaten or put up for entertainment, because you will be hung up in the car wash by your high school buddy who was 75 points lower on the IQ scale, but now he gets to poke you with his rifle because there is no government to tell him, hey, maybe don't do that. Like, there's the cavalry is not coming.
Right. I mean, the animal comes out. That's what it is. Like the and
that is everyone is animals outside of the couple of very small pockets. Even we see it very early on. I'm like, if I were, who would I? Because you immediately get selfish 5 seconds into watching. Who am I? Who am I in this movie? And the real answer is you're probably at the bottom of a pit. But if you're not that, like, right. Hopefully, I was just like, would I have the spine to be the right person? And I think maybe now I would be, but there was definitely most of my life where I would have been not the right person. Maybe now I'm starting to think that I could have the balls to stand up, but for 95% of my life, I would have been those people getting drunk at the bar, the people hiding and saying, oh, I'm just trying not to get involved, or I would have been at the butt of a rifle. Like, right. those are the only, I would not have been strong enough nor cruel enough to do these things.
You're also a young person, and you know, once you take on responsibility of another person after you know, have a relationship or get married or have kids, whatever that is, I think that there's an instinct that kicks in that does that. That's, you know, there's the mothering instinct that will protect your kids no matter what. There's, you know, the parents protect the family no matter what. The man usually protects the wife no matter what. You know, that's just...
I get worried that same instinct is a lot of those people who like think they're doing things right in the name to protect all and without, because they don't see they are unable to see the larger implication of their actions. I must do this to give my family bread and water now, not realizing it will cost everyone's lives in a year, including my own family. Like, they just can't do the long term math. You know, people are bad at long term planning.
People are bad at long term planning. Like, that might be the motto of this movie, Civil War. People are bad at long-term planning.
I wrote it down. I'm like, I know how to do it. I know the right answer to everything. And it was, where is it? Hold on. I wrote down all the things. The people who want change are almost always right, but they need to do it really, really, really slowly so the old and stupid people don't get mad and confused and kill everybody. So, if you're doing it too fast, the old and stupid people will start to get really mad and confused, and then they'll start trying to kill you. So you gotta slow down. And then you slow down, and then it's not bad or different or weird enough for anyone to take over or do crazy things, while also keeping the, you know, lower, like the people who are always on the short end, like keeping them happy enough. Like, you gotta walk that balance at all times, because if you try to change too quickly, you try to turn a boat too quickly, it capsizes. You can't turn a $7 million Freudian slip. Yeah. 7 billion person planet more than 2 degrees a year without expecting it to capsize.
Yeah.
I love the end of this movie. It's very visceral. It's just like an action movie. It gets me in the feels.
It's White House Down.
Do you have more specifics to say? It would mostly just be gushing about like the film, like the music choices, yes. The shots,
yes.
Everything.
All of that.
Like the actual filmmaking of this movie, the actual characters. Like, I know we've mostly talked about stuff because that's the kind of thing that you would want to talk about in something like this. But from a film aspect, like this is, I love it. Masterpiece.
I think it's done really well, and all of that. And how many times did you jump in your seat?
I jumped a couple of times, but I actually, like, I started, the scene I started crying at, like, not even because, like, a specific thing happened, but it was when the militia was trying to take the guys who were it was, like, the middle of the movie, and they were shooting upwards at the American government guys, and the American government guys were shooting down, and it's, like, a guy in a Hawaiian shirt, it's, like, a black guy, and the black guy gets shot, and the guy's trying to put gauze in him, and they're taking a picture.
Yeah.
I started weeping at that scene. Like, that one, I was like, that's... Because it's not... I think it is. I think there's something maybe negative about this, but like, it sounds so removed when you watch war-torn things from other countries and it looks so different and it feels so foreign. But when I saw that fat guy in a Hawaiian shirt get gunned down, I'm like, I'm the fat guy in a Hawaiian shirt. Like, I can't... Like, it's here. He's wearing Air Monarchs. He has a Tommy Bahama. It's right there. It got to me. They made it to me. The bad guys got to me. And I just wept. And I was just like, I was the fucking ape at Planet of the Apes. You maniacs! You blew it all up! Like, it was ruining me. This movie was ruining me.
Yeah, that whole piece of it was very... That was, I feel like that was taken from a lot of different things that have actually happened within the world. Right. There were like, you know, they showed where people had put tires on people and lit them on fire. You know how I didn't like that. And then because they show part of it as black and white photography, that gives you a sense. Whenever they did that, that gave me, I felt like I was flashing back to something that I've actually seen in a real life situation. And that particular scene was actually kind of full of it. You know what I mean? That felt like it was full of a lot of those kind of moments. And when they went into the building and they went upstairs and the guy is just, you can hear the guy shouting and, and they get there and I love
the filmmaking choice too. It immediately cuts to like a more contemporary song after they kill that guy.
Yeah.
They're raiding the building. And then it shows like the journalist like laughing with the one guy. Cause at the end of the day, this is their job. Like, and they're like, okay, 5 hours of fighting is done. Like, break time. Let's relax for a second. Like, you are still a human who has to relax at the end of this.
It is their job.
And there's dead bodies, and you got to kill people. And it's fucking hard, man.
What kind of people can do that job, honestly?
Broken. Oh, people who have had it done to them. Like,
these are broken people.
Exactly.
Really broken.
That's what it had. But I'm sure they lost their people earlier in the Civil War. Like, they didn't lose them in a chill, regular way. They lost it in the Civil War. And then...
I'm talking about the journalists. I'm not talking about the people who are fighting. What kind of people can be... No, all the people fighting, I understand their motivation. That's not a problem.
Oh, journalists are... Yeah. Journalists, I think, are just kind of like thrill-seeker kind of people. I mean, I've always thought that way. They're kind of... They're like ugly, less talented actors and writers. Like, they want fame, and so they pursue thrills. I think pretty lowly of journalists nowadays. Maybe there was a time they were more noble, but these are good...
I don't know.
For the most part,
yeah,
good
have
people.
Mostly journalists but this, anymore, so, yeah. They're very different.
I see, these four people are, like... I would consider them... on the higher end of journalistic people I would consider today. Like, even though they're burnout, jaded, and, like, kind of, like... But they're generally seem to be good people. They just are ineffectual. They don't care about their, like... You know, we're just getting the scoop, and I don't know.
Anthony Bourdain vibes. Tone. You know, like, that's what it felt like to me.
Who, from Joel?
From... Is that the guy,
That's the Florida guy.
Yeah. Like, totally. You know, just...
I would have thought... you would have loved his thing at the end. Like, I thought of you. I didn't really think of you during watch this, except for the couple of parts where it's gruesome. I'm like, oh, I don't know if Mom K's gonna like that.
Yeah.
But at the end of the movie, when they drag Nick Offerman out from behind his desk and they're gonna end it, and he wants, wait, I need my line, like, because he wanted it. And then he said, and Nick Offerman just kind of, don't let them kill me. And he just goes,
that's it.
Yeah, that'll do.
Yeah.
And I was like, ah, that's a Mom K. Mom K's gonna like that one.
Yeah.
that'll do. Like, that's all you were.
Yeah, and regardless of what that person represented, that represents, like, politicians.
That's it.
And that's...
It's just like the other scene. He's stuck. We're stuck. That's it.
Yeah.
Don't let him kill me. That's what the leader... That's what this coward does.
And
that's what he wants.
It got me afterwards when they were... I guess it was when they were running credits, and they showed the photo of all of the people who were there when they killed the president. With the president's body, and I'm like, this is so third world. Like, this is what the end of this movie. I'm just
like, say third world. They did this to Mussolini too, and we like Italy's pretty first. Like, you know, this happens to a lot of people. Like, it happens, man. It's pretty gruesome, but it happens.
Yeah, I know that it does, but it was just it's like it is base. You're back to your animal base, sort of, but everyone's doing a job. You know what I mean? Like, the fact that your job is at an animal base is very disconcerting.
Doesn't it feel, it works for me really, like, I know we're running long, but like, it really works for me too, because like, at no point at any time did I feel this is a Hollywood movie that wants me to do it. I felt no cynicism from a like consumerism product movie making set. I got the idea that I had a real art moment watching this movie. I'm like, this is an art war film, and thank you A24 and Alex Garland for fucking trying.
Yeah, I think so too. But I think you would have to ask him, I guess, but I had shades of, did you ever see Salvador by Oliver Stone.
No, I've not seen all Oliver Stone. I get Oliver Stone. So
The Year of Living Dangerously back in 79. These all this felt like he got to this point with this movie by being on the shoulders of those movies specifically to me, because it felt very, I mean, they're both photojournalistic viewpoints of war. It's not our country, but it's still, you know, and this is like, okay, you saw it there. You saw it in El Salvador. You saw it in, where was Year of Living Dangerously?
Don't know the movie. Wouldn't be able to have. Is it also South American? Venezuela's had problems.
No. It's out. Argentina. No, it's out near, it's in Asia, like Myanmar or someplace like that. So it just felt, it feels like that. It's way grittier than that. The storyline isn't the same. Maybe it's more like Salvador, I guess. But because it's close, because it's home, it's very different. So the peccadilloes I have with the movie are not, they don't take away from the actual movie. They're, you know, the guy, sometimes I think that, you know, I'm the person that's going to jump in the movie with whatever the jump scare is going to be. There was a grown ass man sitting next to me, not my husband, another man that I didn't know. And he came out of his seat. The same times I jumped, he jumped too, but his was out of his seat jumping. And he was just.
What was the big, was there.
There were two
I'm trying to think when you guys were really jumping.
I mean, I think one of them had to do with when he shot Hong Kong.
That is abrupt.
You're anticipating it for like 5 minutes.
Like,
someone's gonna get it, right? You're anticipating it. When's it gonna happen?
Yeah.
And then he's crying, you know, Hong Kong's crying, and you're like, okay, this is gonna happen, and then it just does, you know. That was the second one. I can't remember what the first one was, but it was probably a similar type of situation.
Something during that Charleston or wherever it was firefight where the one that I where he's shoving the gauze in the guy and then they execute the guys after. That one was really like, that was the one where like I was just like, wow, like, wow. Like, it, because then up until that point, you're like, you're kind of, I guess, supposed to sympathize with the Western forces, I think, but like, they're just animals too. Like, we don't get any sense that they're fighting for a right thing. They're just, they just want to, like, they're going to restore some sort of order, but it's in such a barbaric way that's going to kill so many people anyway. Like, it's just like, it's so much loss already. And it's all,
That's what war is. And then at some point, you know, 20 don't years do down this. The road.
That's all. That's the message. Don't do it. Whatever your grievances is with the person you hate most, you would rather live alongside them and go to the grocery store together than fucking not go to the grocery store at all. Because if there's no grocery store, you're his grocery store. So,
calm down when somebody's dog poops on your lawn. You know what I mean? It's dog poop.
When you get mad of how little power you have in this world and people are taking over and you're like, I want to change it so I have the power. Think about how maybe there are even people above you who also want power. And maybe they're also being stopped from wanting power. And maybe if they got the power, they would be even worse than the people who currently have the power. So maybe if you have air conditioning, if you have Wi-Fi, if you have running water, maybe you should just be like, you know, maybe it's okay. Maybe we made it. Maybe I'll make a movie like Civil War, which is a movie that we are going to recommend, Mama K?
I'm recommending it.
That's all I can ask for.
I'm recommending it because I think it's a good movie. I think it's an interesting premise in these times to think about. The acting is, you know, I'd say it's 95% there, so I'm good with that. The story is basic as hell, but played in such a way that you're on the edge of your seat the whole time. So I'm going to recommend it. I need so much palate cleansing after that movie, and I'm not going to recommend it to anybody who has any sort of unstable mental status. Not like they're going to go shoot up, you know, the local supermarket.
Maybe you should. Maybe you should. Maybe you should. This should be seen by the most extreme people. Like, all right, you hate your enemy so much. You hate that person in your mind that's the worst thing ever so much. This is what it would cost. Is this worth it? Tearing everything. This is what tearing everything looks like. People hurting.
There's the other part.
You hating that person in your mind, that non-real person, that fictionalized amalgamation of the things you hate, is hating that's worth it. Like, please, if you're hearing this, yeah, please,
have real mental illness, this is not the film for you, so.
Yeah, but if we have real mental illness, you should never be able to get any sort of degree of power where you can influence change. That would be concerning
to me. Agree, but those kind of people just take it into their own hands to do things.
And yet.
And yet, here we are. And
yet.
But I have to tell you, to make you feel better, I've been in the world for several years now, and I remember growing up that...
That's a fun way to say you're old. I've been in the world for several years now.
And while I've never seen a war on our own turf, I do remember growing up, my parents, who did go through World War II, saying every time we had an election cycle that they were voting for the lesser of two evils. And I grew up thinking, how is that possible? And then as I keep growing and voting for presidents, I keep thinking that in my mind that, God, I wish I had another choice. God, I wish I had another choice. And here we are again. So it's cyclical, and this too will pass. So don't freak out.
I think if we can power through four more years, I think on the other side, like, yes, biology will take its course.
I hope so.
Start fresh, but not start fresh like this. Start fresh from leadership perspective. Not start fresh like Scorch JCPenney. Like, well, start fresh, yeah, like...
The next 4 years is going to be what it is, period. And then after
Yes. God, like, whoever you are out there...
It doesn't matter.
Your choice might not win, and it's probably not going to be the best choice, no matter who wins. Power through as a regular person. If you are in place of power, do normal, regular things.
Right. And if you're not in a place of power, do normal, regular things, for God's sake.
If you're asked to do a crazy thing in your place of power,
don't do
it. Use your brain and make sure you know the consequences and the real repercussions. Just think about it.
It's
individualist. Like, the cavalry isn't coming. We're in charge. We're in charge now. I wish someone told me at one point that, like, I'm telling you right now, there's no invisible system. There's no cabal at the top. It's just a bunch of random crap with some okay people that's all it is. So
people couldn't keep enough secrets for there to be a secret cabal. So
I would say, do you think anyone can run? It's a miracle, and let's keep the miracle alive. Two recommends for Civil War. I don't think I said recommend, but this is, it would take substantial movement for this not to be one of my favorite movies of the decade. Like, it's amazing. I was scared going in. One of my favorite directors. I was afraid that it was not going to be the right. I didn't like Men, his last movie. Like, not didn't like. Like, it had things I liked, but it was a 2.5-3-star movie. And I'm like, I don't want that from my favorite director or top five. I want a life-changing movie. And this is, for me, I don't want to oversell to you guys at home, but, like, I'm on Goga Blogian, go and I get it, watching the thing. Two recommends for Civil War. We have some other things in theaters coming out soon. We're going to do our catch-up show soon, so we can talk. Yeah. You're going to hear my thoughts on Dune, because I don't think anyone else has seen Dune, because we haven't talked about that, because no one... Films of the women. Dune, not a...
No one wants Sand Wars.
There's some women that like Dune, right? Just not these three women. Just not my co-hosts. But
no.
We'll catch up on some of the other releases in our catch-up show. There's Monkey Movie. Like I said, there's Monkey Movies. We got Godzilla Kong, Monkey Man, Planet of the Apes. I'm sure those will all be talked about at some point. But if you have things to recommend to us, we take them. We take listener suggestions when we got them. Films with the Woman in My Life on Facebook. Reach out to me on Instagram. I'm Brennan_podhost. And you can email the show, filmswiththewomen@gmail.com. Thank you for being on Civil War, Mama K.
Phew.
That's how it feels to...
Yes.
Get it. Whew, that... Pulse pounding. Like, edge of my seat. Oh my God, Daya! Okay. Until next time, this is Brennan signing off, saying thanks for listening and enjoy your... We'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to Films with the Women in My Life. If you enjoyed being a listener in our life, please rate and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or on your favorite podcast app. Keep up with the latest from the show on Instagram at Brennan_podhost, on Facebook at Films with the Women in My Life, and on Twitter at FilmsWomenPod. Finally, you can email the show with questions and suggestions at filmswiththewomen@gmail.com. Original music for the show was created by Ian Burke and Chris Iwanek. Original artwork created by Nicole D'Alessio. This show is produced by Brennan Snyder. Thank you again for listening, and enjoy your movies.